Good morning. It is time to get up with Please Don't Let That Actually Have Just Happened. Giannis, non-contact. Is it time to freak out? Woj has the answer right off the top. Meanwhile, it was a postseason preview night in the league, and the stars were on full display. You will see it all in this hour. Plus, Mel has a mock draft, and the very top of it has one very interesting turn of events. We're counting down the days, people. It's time to get up, starting right now. We feast our eyes on the fashion plate. Louis Riddick with his brand new clothing line. I would have expected it not to have fewer buttons. You know, I would have.
Hey, you know what? You know, I almost thought about wearing a black button-up shirt and button it to about here, but the hoodie, I've never worn a hoodie on TV. So
this is big, big day.
This is new.
This is a good, it's a good day. Alan is here. Kmart is here. Wesleyan is well represented this morning. Field Yates is here. I told you Mel's got a mock. We'll get to all of that in a moment, but we begin. Alan, the action last night. The Bucks and the Celtics. Preview of the conference final. Don't get there quite so quickly. Giannis was listed as probable with a hamstring before the game. He would play. He would look most of the night. He'd look very good.
He would, but it won't end well. But here's Bobby Portis, and he has played great off the bench. A little shimmy right there as the Bucks got off to a much-needed good start.
And then there's a former teammate, Drew Holiday.
Whoa.
That's a bad matchup.
Yes. Terrible.
And then watch this here. Watch Giannis on the defense. Look at this. Get that out of here, Jaylen Brown. Giannis having a big night. And stay with the play. Stay with the play. Brook Lopez. Bucks have a 20-point halftime lead. Third quarter, it's 18 more from Giannis.
Yeah, and this is a bad matchup. If you're a Hauser, you do not want to be caught on Giannis Island. That is not a resort.
There aren't too many good matchups. So the Bucks would cruise in this game, but here's where it's important. So Derek White makes the shot. Pay no attention to that. Watch Giannis on the ensuing play.
Oh, no. That's a non-contact. And when you grab the back of the calf like that, we've seen this in the NBA a few times. Kevin Durant comes to mind. That's the first thing you think is, oh, no, not the Achilles.
Down he would go. So they would say he was having an MRI, and that MRI has been had. Bucks would win easily. I have the latest from Adrian Wojnarowski. He tweeted this less than 10 minutes ago. After an MRI, Giannis's left Achilles is fully intact. His return to play will come with how quickly his left calf strain heals, sources tell ESPN. I wanted to keep Louis Riddick in this conversation here quickly because, as I've said many times, if something's wrong with you, ask a doctor. If you can't find a doctor, ask a football player because they know everything. So we'll go in. He was listed before the game as probable with left hamstring tendinopathy. Mm-hmm. So what does that tell us? He had the hamstring and then boom, the calf just goes there. It's a strain. Again, the Achilles at this moment is fully intact.
Yes, the tendinopathy is obviously the issue that he had in the hamstring. He played through this. He talked about the importance of playing through because of where the Bucks were and how they were struggling. And he said, I don't want to sit out when my team's trying to get the number two seed in the East. So he played through it, missed only one game. But he wasn't playing his, you could see he was missing something athletically. But then the fact that now, Lewis, it's on the same leg, now it's moved down to the calf. That's where I think, even though what Woj said, with the Achilles being fully intact, that's the good news. But the problem is that that can lead to even more concerns. They have three games left. They have not locked up the number two seed. Mm-hmm. And we don't know if he's going to be on the court to finish this season.
Yeah, look, obviously, I'm not going to sit here and speculate as to, you know, what was the degree of injury that he had in his hamstring and whether or not they're connected or not. I can just tell you this, though, from my experience. Mm-hmm. Look, I had a very severe hamstring pull as a hurdler in high school in my right hamstring. It was never the same. Okay, and I consistently had issues with my right calf and my right Achilles my entire NFL career. I used to constantly have to have treatment on that and take different, you know, kinds of stuff to help calm down the inflammation in my right Achilles, because my right Achilles was, quite honestly, it was like twice the size of the other one. Mm. And I was constantly worried about that. So once it starts to go from the top down, you start thinking about that kind of thing all the time. And I saw that. I saw when that happened, and I saw him walking out of the arena afterwards.
Yeah.
He was walking out with his kids, and I was sitting there going, man, that stuff all seems interconnected for sure. You just hope that he's able to get back quickly.
So if you go to Woj's tweet, and he posted it on Instagram as well, the comments, again, I'm making no statement except that if you read the comments, every one of them is KD in the 2019 finals, KD in the 2019 finals,
yeah,
KD in the 2019 finals. He had a calf sprain, a strain in the 2019 finals. People were saying he shouldn't come back and play. He did because he wanted to tough it out. And then, boom, we all saw what happened 18 months later. He wasn't back on the court. So that I'm not suggesting that's what's going on here. I'm just saying that's the first thing that jumps to everyone's mind.
Yeah, of course. Like you aren't suggesting it could happen, but what you have to look at is the possibility of further injury. But more importantly, even if nothing more happens to him, this Bucks team, which has already been on the struggle bus the last couple of weeks, they already were under 500 under Doc Rivers. They did get this win against a Celtics team that's already got everything wrapped up. But still, for a Bucks team that had championship aspirations this season with a huge trade bringing in Damian Lillard and not playing up to par, especially in the second half of the season, now you're going into a postseason that begins in a week.
Yeah.
With Giannis Antetokounmpo, your most important player, physically compromised. And that is a major issue in Milwaukee.
So we'll have much more on this as we go. We'll have more basketball. I want to get to Mel's mock draft here, Lewis, but first, I just want to show everyone one thing. If you're wondering why Billy Donovan might consider going back to college and coaching at Kentucky, maybe it's because his Chicago Bulls team does things like this. Just, Lewis, avert your eyes.
Whoa, wait. Hold on.
Yeah.
Let's see. So we're going to try
Andre Drummond wanted the rebound. That's all. Andre Drummond wanted the rebound.
We're trying to double dunk the ball, huh? That's what we're doing now?
Synchronized dunking.
So that's what we're doing?
By the way, if you stayed with that play, as it went back the other way, Andre Drummond got hurt on the play. The other end of the play, at the end of it, Andre Drummond is lying on the ground injured. I don't know.
That's honestly one of the dumbest plays I've ever seen. there's no question. That's one of the dumbest plays. That's not even hyperbole.
Honestly,
that's one of the dumbest plays.
You could have called a foul on that, honestly. I'm Torrey Craig. I'm like, hey, can I get some free throws, please?
That's a good question. Is it a foul if your own teammate does it?
Dang.
Okay. So what we had that last night. Again, Billy Donovan is sitting there going, please, Kentucky, call me. All right. We go move on. We'll get more basketball later. We are 15 days away from the draft, people. And this morning, Mel Kiper has a new mock up. It is mock 4.0. The top four picks are what you would expect them to be. Caleb, Jaden, and then Drake May. Then he's got the receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. going. Then the big trade. Minnesota coming up to the Chargers spot at 5 to take J.J. McCarthy. You see the rest of the top 10. Mel, I will address Brock Bowers to the Jets at 10 with you a little bit later, perhaps off the air. That's of extraordinary concern, maybe only to me. I need you to call Joe Douglas and tell him that's a terrible idea. But let's get to the part of this that everyone else is excited about. A terrible idea. Oh, Field Yates as well. Sorry, not to mention Yates with us up as well. Okay, but let's start with McCarthy. Mel, it's funny because J.J. McCarthy and Michigan win the national championship. And we're sitting there. I feel like the conversation that night was, boy, he might sneak into the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are 15 days from the draft. And in your mock draft, he has snuck all the way up to number 5. Talk to me about J.J. McCarthy.
A lot to unpack there. And Field and I had debated that on the podcast back and forth. What will the Vikings do? Will they sit at 11 and wait it out? Because Denver picks at 12, but Denver has no second round pick to maybe jump ahead and move up. So if you think about Minnesota, they're in division right now with Jared Goff, Jordan Love, and also now Caleb Williams. So you move up and get J.J. McCarthy. You give up picks. Now there's the Chargers at 5 want to lose out on Malik Nabers and Romo Odunze, who Justin Herbert would really like to have, right? And then you think about where they could go. Well, they could go down to 11 and get maybe a J.C. Latham, right tackle from Alabama, who they need. And they could get, because of the depth at wide receiver, an Xavier Worthy at 23. Are they okay with that? Or they want the stud receiver at 5. So I think when you look at this pick, is it too high for McCarthy? Field and I have talked about that on the first draft podcast. I have him at 14. I did that to close the gap between McCarthy and Drake May. He was around 21. 14 is not high enough to go up and get him at 5. That's my opinion, but the opinion around the league is, hey, maybe they will. Maybe they could go up and get him to secure that quarterback. Overdrafting for quarterbacks is here to stay, guys. It's been here a long time, and it's not going away.
Yates, is J.J. McCarthy worthy of being a top 5 pick in the draft?
Yeah, like Mel, he is lower in my rankings than number 5 overall, Greeny. But the reality of the NFL draft is this. This is an element of projection. This is what we are doing. We are taking these players with various level of sample sizes at the college level and saying, can they become successful pro picks? And that might be the biggest thing working against J.J. McCarthy and feeling more confident in your evaluation. Just consider this. J.J. McCarthy was a full-time starter for 2+ seasons. Michael Penix Jr. has been in college for 6 years, just as an example. Bo Nix has more starts than any other quarterback in FBS history. part of the reason why we are still kind of figuring out J.J. McCarthy is he threw the football 332 times this past year. That being said, when you take a look at what he did within those 332 throws and those clutch moments for a team that was the best team in college football and one of the best teams we've seen in college football during the playoff era, you see precision, you see ball placement, you see clutch production on third down. It wasn't that Michigan needed to lean on J.J. McCarthy as much as other teams did their quarterbacks, but when they did, J.J. McCarthy met the moment every single time last year, a big part of the reason why they went 15-0.
Lewis has tape, so show me J.J. McCarthy plays.
Yeah, look, there is, quite honestly, objective data that when you look at the tape, or if you want to call it subjective data, that shows you that in big moments, this guy can make big-time throws. And he can make them from the pocket or outside the pocket. Look, that ball placement there is exquisite. I want you to watch this rolling to his left where he puts this football. Look at this throw. Look, I'll tell you, look, now, if Caleb Williams is making that throw or if Jaden Daniels is making that throw, we're sitting there going, oh, my God, they're he looks just like Patrick Mahomes. Look at the box that he fits this window into. And that's just, this is just a few plays. Okay, now, if you want to look at the objective data, if you want to say, look, this is a guy who in FBS last year was third in total QBR. QBR outside the pocket, he was third. QBR on third down, 7+, he was number one. Okay, if you and you want to try and objectify this, I mean, look, it's right there. It's right there for you to look at. Now, I understand the sample size for some people may not be extensive enough for you to be comfortable saying he's a top five pick. But that's what the NFL is all about. One, it's about future performance projection, and you're trying to minimize risk while you're doing it. Now, people will say, well, the risk is pretty high because, you know what, his resume isn't that long. Well, that's the business that we live in here when you're talking about the NFL. And when you're talking about quarterbacks in particular, it gets amplified. Because you know that supply, it doesn't exceed demand. There's always more demand than supply. So look, for J.J. McCarthy, it's not a matter of whether or not he's worth a top five pick. It's whether or not someone can justify picking him there. And teams are going to justify it this year.
I was just about to say, and teams will gladly try to justify, yes, within the first five picks, he has to be off the board. Because when I ask teams about J.J. McCarthy, the thing that I keep hearing, winning pedigree. That is it. It doesn't matter to Field's point about he wasn't asked to do a whole lot at times. They've seen enough. They've seen him in those big pressure moments. They've seen him win champ. Like, to me, when I hear guys talk about this kid, it's about the projection of what he can be in the NFL, and they're
so
very high.
Based on what you're hearing, and you will be with the Commanders on draft night, I believe, do you believe we will see four quarterbacks off the board in the first five picks?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the way it's headed, right? I mean, exactly how Mel has it drawn up. Now, is there a chance that two of them wind up swapping places from where they are? We're going to get into that. Everyone stay where you are. We have much more on this as we go because we're talking about the top five. Then we get to number six. Should the G-Man get involved in this? Should the New York Giants be involved in a trade? Do they need to come up and get a quarterback? Or should they double down on Daniel Jones? Is there another answer in Mel's latest mock draft? Wait till you hear what he thinks they will do. Plus, in a loaded AFC, is Buffalo's Josh Allen being set up to fail? Can the Bills still win the AFC East? Those are the questions. We have all the answers. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back on Get Up, we're brought to you by E-Trade from Morgan Stanley. And we dive back into our NFL draft talk. Let's do a pass-catching edition of Fill in the Blank. Lewis, I'll start with you.
Mm-hmm.
Fill in the blank for us. Marvin Harrison Jr. compares to whom?
A faster Devontae Adams. And look, Devontae Adams, quite honestly, is a standard in the NFL because as an X or a Z, a guy who is on the outside lane can just win one-on-one when you know they're going to throw it to him. That is what Devontae Adams is. That's what Marvin Harrison Jr. is. When you're talking about the guy who is just the true alpha, the guy who can go get the ball in the deep part of the field and just flip the whole complexion of the football game, that is what Marvin Harrison Jr. does. That's why he's going to be the first wide receiver off the board, in my estimation, and why Devontae Adams is the best wide receiver in football.
Lewis, I'll come back to you. Mel has Brock Bowers going 10 to the Jets. Who does he compare to?
He compares to George Kittle. And why I say that is this. Brock Bowers can block in line. He can block on the move. He can line up in the backfield. He can run the football if you need him to. And then it's the run after the catch competitiveness. And it's not just the competitiveness. The guy has functional strength. He has functional speed. He's got very good hands down the field. He really is the all-around, you know, Pro Bowl caliber tight end. And look, if George Kittle just stays on the football field and stays healthy all the time, he was actually featured as the number one receiving threat, he'd be amongst the very best in the NFL from a statistical standpoint. That being said, that is Brock Bowers' best comparison right there.
I like it. And then Yates, you finish this one off for me. How about Malik Nabers from LSU? Who does he compare to?
Yeah, Greeny, I almost went with like the light version of Tyreek Hill with the explosiveness. I'll go with Stephon Diggs instead, certainly a player who's shown plenty of explosiveness in his day as well. And when we talk all the time about the vertical presence of Malik Nabers, which is absolutely outstanding, he was a zone killer as well. Some of the stuff that he shows in terms of his instincts, understanding of finding space, and then once he creates that space, doing absolute damage after the catch, reminded me very much of the new Houston Texans wide receiver and one of the very best players in the NFL in Stephon Diggs.
All right, so on Mel's mock draft, and seemingly all of them that I've seen lately, he has Malik Nabers going to the Giants at 6. Earlier this week, Nabers, we showed you this, was asked about potentially becoming a Giant. Here was what he said.
Going to New York, you know, it wouldn't be a bad, you know, bad idea, you know. but, you know, quarterback situation, I know, you know, they're going to figure it out, especially, you know, if they got a caliber receiver coming like me, you know, they're going to want to give me the ball, so I'm sure they're going to want to have a quarterback that can do that.
Okay, so not exactly. Boy, I can't wait to team up with Daniel Jones and see what we can get done there, which begs two questions. And Mel, I'll save you for a moment here because you have the Giants doing something a little different. But Kmart, I think a lot of people wonder, will the Giants move up from 6? Mel has Minnesota jumping them to get to 5 to take J.J. McCarthy. A lot of people speculating maybe the Giants make the aggressive move up.
I've heard that the Giants understand the situation they're in. They realize that they need to be sure at quarterback, and right now they are not sure. They don't have a clear plan there with Daniel Jones. So, yes, the problem for the Giants is, like you mentioned, the Vikings. There are other teams that want to try to move above them, and the Vikings seem to have more capital to do that. I've heard the Giants are a team, mentioned J.J. McCarthy a lot. I've heard the Giants being interested in J.J. McCarthy. It'll be interesting to see where he goes and if the Vikings are able to get up there and get him before the Giants.
So, Mel, taking all this into account, you have the Giants making, in your mock draft, a very interesting move here. Tell everyone what you see them doing.
Yeah, get Malik Nabers for Daniel Jones to try to help him and develop and build on what he did 2 years ago when he won a playoff game against Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. It looked like he was moving forward to be an elite quarterback. Well, injuries, obviously, team around him, problems there. So you get the insurance. So you get Brian Daboll says, okay, I get the receiver to help Daniel, but I also get some insurance moving up to get Bo Nix. Bo Nix is 24. Bo Nix has a gazillion starts. J.J. McCarthy's just 21 years of age. Now you get a guy more NFL ready. You get a guy that, hey, if Daniel Jones gets injured or he doesn't take that next step, then you have Bo Nix waiting there to reset things and become that guy. Malik Nabers said quarterback-wise, they said they're going to address it at some point. May not at 6. Maybe a wide receiver there, but then you go back up and get the quarterback. Will Levis, Tennessee moved up and got him last year early in the second round. Similar situation here with the Giants moving up to get Bo Nix.
A lot of people like
Mel Bo. Didn't consult Malik Nabers before making that mock draft.
We'll see what Malik thinks about the idea of playing with Bo Nix. You like him.
Yeah, I do like Bo Nix. I like him a lot. And quite honestly, I think when you went down to the Senior Bowl and you looked at him in a pro-style offense when he got underneath center, and how he was able to pick up the footwork, how he was able to pick up the timing, and how he progressed throughout practices while he was down there. This is a guy who, again, future performance projection tells you that he will pick up, if in fact he was to go to a team like the Giants, he will pick up the kind of offense that Mike Kafka and Brian Daboll want to run. Again, this is a guy who gets the ball out of his hands very quickly. He takes care of the football. He was the best quarterback in college football in terms of not taking sacks, not turning over the football with interceptions, not fumbling the football. These are all things that coaches now look, we as fans may not value those things right now at this time of year. All we want to hear about is what kind of arm strength does he have? How far can he throw it? Can he make the good old Zach Wilson throw rolling to his left throw? No, coaches value, and I know that.
Well, I was going to say, why did you take a shot right there, just, like that?
I did.
I don't know why I caught a stray in the middle of his conversation.
But you know what? Yeah, people, I like Bo Nix, and I like this trade idea that Mel is putting out here.
Except
I really do.
Yates. Mel is living in a world where he has four quarterbacks going in round one. I look at literally every mock draft that comes out in our preparation. I've seen many that have five. I've seen many that have six. Do you believe that Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr., as Mel does, will be there when we start night two on Friday?
I keep thinking, Greeny, that we're going to have five quarterbacks in the first round, but it's tough to play specifically where that fifth quarterback goes. Certainly the points that we are looking at as kind of the potential possibilities are if the Vikings move up, as Mel has laid out in this scenario, the Broncos at pick number 12, the Raiders at pick number 13. Those are the two most obvious spots where teams who are still in that quarterback market who may not believe those players will be available once they roll around to their second round picks, or in the case of the Denver Broncos, they don't have a second round pick. So the possibility of a trade up like Mel showed right here for the New York Giants should not be ruled out in the second round. And Lewis was talking about the future performance projection on Bo Nix, and obviously it's impossible for us to know exactly how these players are going to become as NFL signal callers just next year or future years as well. But when you have as much tape on film as Bo Nix does, I mean, the most experienced quarterback in the history of the FBS, I do think teams have a bit more of an assurance with him because you kind of know the limitations for Bo, and you also know the strengths, and there are a lot of them. His tape from this past year was outstanding. Mm-hmm. 45 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. One of those 3 interceptions, by the way, was a bad drop by his wide receiver.
All right, I have to leave it there for the moment. I'm up against the bottom of the hour. If you're interested in the draft, again, 15 days away, we're the right place to be this morning. We're all over this all morning long. We will also sneak in an NBA playoff preview between the two legends, Steph and LeBron, head-to-head last night. But it was another one of the stars who had the biggest impact, and you'll see it as we continue.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! loved. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
We are back on Get Up, bottom of the hour. Breaking news, huge news for Josh Allen. Not the Josh Allen you're thinking of. The Jaguars Pro Bowl linebacker has reached agreement on a 5-year, $150 million contract that includes $88 million guaranteed. This from Adam Schefter just moments ago. Allen had a Jaguars franchise record 17.5 sacks last season. So a well-deserved huge payday for Josh Allen. Let's talk now about the other Josh Allen and his longtime running mate, Stephon Diggs, who, of course, the Bills traded to Houston for draft pick compensation last week. The big question now for the Bills is how do they replace the on-field production that Stephon Diggs gave them since he got to Buffalo in 2020. Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs have more yards, more completions, and more touchdowns than any quarterback wide receiver duo in the league, and so it presents a whole lot of questions about where they go from here. So do they take a step backwards without him? That's really the question that a lot of people have been asking. So let me start with, okay, so that was the, can we put that up again? Because it took a very long time to get to what we wanted to show you. So maybe a lot of people thought it was the last straw when Stephon Diggs tweeted this. RG3, our own Robert Griffin III, said, is Stephon Diggs essential to Josh Allen's success? Like, do they need him? Will Josh Allen wind up taking a step back? Someone said, doesn't Josh benefit from having him as a wide receiver? Is that going to be the problem? And he wrote, Stephon Diggs wrote, are you sure? Are you sure Josh Allen is ready now to move on without him? And Kmart, that's what you knew.
Listen, listen. Let me tell you right now, Josh Allen, he is a better person than me, because if I were Josh and I saw my wide receiver, my brother in arms, say, you sure that he's not integral and paramount to my success, that would have been the moment for me where I would have lost it. Because let me tell you right now, Josh Allen this season needs to, every press conference, every game, show that, you know what, I am him. Will it be a challenge without Stephon Diggs? 100%. But the reason we believe in Buffalo is not because of Stephon Diggs. It's because of their quarterback, who happens to be named Josh Allen. So if I am Josh, this actually could be a good thing for him. I know that sounds crazy. I know that sounds crazy. In
Lewis
the long run, I
very
think
skeptical.
This could be a good thing.
Skeptical,
look,
Lewis.
Look, the ascension of Josh Allen coincides
with
the
you.
Arrival
I got
of Stephon Diggs.
I got you.
And look, I know that. Look, our tendency is to always want to kind of separate out player performance and say, no, it's him. No, it's him. No, it's both. And that's what Stephon is saying. Are you sure? Are you sure he's still the same Josh Allen without me? There's no way you're going to tell me that without Stephon Diggs, unless they make some kind of material addition to the wide receiver room, that Josh is going to be top five in total QBR, top five in passing yards, top five in passing touchdowns like he was last year. There's no way you're going to tell me that. And for look, I understand that he needs to step to the forefront now and say, hey, look, I am him. I'm the guy here, right? But really, what we're really referring to with Josh Allen right now really isn't about statistical regression. I don't care about that. What I care about is this. Can you impact the rest of this roster and get them over the hump and get them to the Super Bowl? Because honestly, look, Patrick Mahomes statistically regressed. Okay, he regressed. But when Tyreek Hill left, but you know what he did? He took his team to Super Bowls. That's what we're talking about.
Kmart, listen, I hear you with your little cute little outfit. I hear
you.
You
know, look, don't mess with me today.
You look good, Lou, but. Here's the point. We're talking about the it's not about the statistics. That's why I say it could be a good thing, because this is a wide receiver. There are plenty of wide receivers in this draft. Who will the Buffalo Bills be? We don't know. But I think it's about Josh, not necessarily that Stephon Diggs is.
Mel, I have channeled my inner Mel Kiper on this show for the last week or so, ever since the moment this trade was made. And because I'm just envisioning the future. Okay, Mel, I'm envisioning it's November, and the Bills are .500 at best And the topic bar at the bottom of our screen where it says, could Josh Allen take a step back? The topic bar is going to say, what's wrong with Josh Allen? And the answer is going to be, they lost all their good players on that team, and we're asking him to not only be one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL, but to carry what has now become an inferior roster to the kind of expectations he has created, which is basically Super Bowl or bust. Mel, I'm channeling my inner Kuiper.
I don't think the sky's falling. I really don't. Dalton Kincaid was the go-to guy last year. You think about Dawson Knox. You think about Khalil Shakir, who came on, and Josh Allen Roy had a lot of confidence in Shakir. Kincaid was outstanding. And they have a first-round pick that could become a wide receiver like Xavier Worthy. Adonai Mitchell, Texas. Both those Texas receivers. Maybe Xavier Leggett. Maybe they move up. Do they try to become like the Falcons moved up to get Julio Jones? They kind of gave up, what? They talked about flipping picks. You give up a one the following year, a two, and a four. But if they stay where they are or they move up a little bit, they can get a wide receiver. And I'm with Kimberly on this. They get, I think, multiple wide receivers in this draft, which is really deep at that position. Brian Thomas Jr. is who I'm projecting right now. Will he be there? Debatable, but he could be. If he's not, you've got Adonai Mitchell, you've got Worthy and Leggett, as I mentioned, and you have Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, Khalil Shakir, you added Curtis Samuel, so, and James Cook, the running back. So for me, no, I don't think the sky's falling in Buffalo not having Stephon Diggs, who I thought did a disservice to that team with some of the things, the way they were handled, and wasn't the go-to guy. It was Kincaid. So for me, sometimes it's addition, you know, even though you subtracted, maybe you add something big in this draft.
Let me get Yates in here. Yates, what do you think?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to re-highlight just how much of the Bills felt confident in this move could actually prevent them from taking a step back. The Buffalo Bills were thin at wide receiver with Stephon Diggs on the roster. So they trade away a player at a position that they are not deep. Second of all, the Bills were tight to the salary cap. Trading away Stephon Diggs actually added to his 2024 salary cap number via dead money. Meanwhile, this team has not had a particularly robust free agent period, and they traded away a draft pick in 2024, and they recouped one in 2025, two of them actually. But they felt like they were so set on this trade that they could do all of those things to execute it. Now, I certainly understand the, you know, last year there were 13 straight games to end the season where Stephon Diggs did not have over 100 receiving yards, and I believe implicitly in Josh Allen as a player. The one thing that I'm concerned about, though, for the Buffalo Bills offense is that even if he didn't have a monster presence in those final 13 games, he was on the field, and defenses had to account for Stephon Diggs every single weekend, regardless of whether he had 150 yards in the game or 50 yards in the game. His absence to me is something that I do think this team has to find a way to account for. And Lewis, let's take it away from here.
No, Field, just keep on preaching, Field. Keep on preaching, right? Because the fact that he is on the field, what do you think that does for Dalton Kincaid? What do you think that does for Khalil Shakir? Just because he's not getting the ball doesn't mean he's not impacting the game tremendously. And I understand exactly what you're saying too, Mel, as far as his impact that you can't measure statistically on the football team in terms of was he being a distraction while he was there. But there's no way that Brandon Bean himself said, look, I cannot sit here and tell you that we're a better football team without Stephon
Diggs. In April.
I can't tell you that.
In April.
You're right. This is going to play itself out. It's going to play itself out. But they've taken a hit.
Here's what it is, Kmart. Yes, people would look at the information that is on the table that Field just laid out about how they're looking for draft picks next year and all that stuff. You look at all the players they've lost on defense. This is sort of a rebuilding year for Buffalo. Mm-hmm. They don't go into the basement because their quarterback is just too good.
Yes.
But this is a year where they take a little step back, cleanse the cap, reload that defense, and then you make your next run with Josh Allen. The point I'm making is, in November, when that's the team they have, we're going to blame Josh Allen. And when I say we, I mean everyone but me.
I don't agree with you. I don't think so. I think here's what we want to see from Josh this year. Regardless of who's on this roster, can you elevate play around you? That's it. And I think with Brady as their OC now, we saw towards the end of the season how this offense looked different and the ball was spread around more and they remember they had running back.
I can see Mel out of the corner
Mel
of my eye.
Mel is a genius. I love this.
That's because Mel's adopted Josh Allen.
I got to go with Lewis on this. I got to go with my boy Lewis on this one. Lewis, come on, pal. I mean, if you're a number one go-to receiver, you're just not on the field to make everybody else catch the ball. You got to be the guy. You're the number one go-to receiver. That was Dalton Kincaid. It wasn't Stephon Diggs. So to say he makes everybody better, the number one receiver's job is to be the number one receiver and be step up and be the guy. And that wasn't Stephon Diggs, unfortunately, this year.
Let Mel cook. He's
preaching. I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. Look, I'm not saying that in the end, Mel, that this doesn't wind up being something that Buffalo needed to do.
That's all.
And it doesn't benefit them. But there's no question this year, regardless of who they bring in, the spotlight's going to squarely be on Josh.
Yes.
Josh is going to have to be like Patrick. He's going to be compared to Patrick all year long, and he should be. He should, because that's how we talk about him, right? He's the most talented guy in the NFL. Pound for pound, at quarterback, he's the most talented guy in the NFL. Well, he's going to have to show it this year.
Not only that, you know when we'll know? Excuse me. I'm sorry about the voice. Mike Tannenbaum keeps bringing this up. We'll know in June. Post June 1, do they make a move for a veteran receiver? Mm-hmm. Do they go out and try and get Brandon Ayuk from San Francisco or Odell Beckham Jr. or someone like that? Wait. That's when they could start making moves. Then we'll know if they think they're reloading or if they're going for it.
Keep in mind, Brandon Bean was the same guy who traded 2 1s for Stephon Diggs. Like, he will be aggressive. This is not a guy who's just going to stand pat. Like, they understand with Josh Allen, every year is critical.
Field, I got 10 seconds. Give me if I can see you have something. Go.
I was just going to say, I think the pickings are way too slim after June 1 to expect this team to make a splashy move to the wide receiver spot, unless Brandon Ayuk becomes available in a trade and they hold off on a trade until way after the draft.
That's the name that Mike T keeps bringing up. And again, maybe they draft somebody. We'll see. One way or another, we'll have more of this conversation as we go. Tonight, we got hoops. We got the Heat and the Mavs, 7:30 Eastern. Then Minnesota, Denver. This could be for the one seed. This is a critical game tonight. And it also could be a preview of the Western Conference Finals. Coverage tips tonight with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. Much more as we go. More football. The D in Big D stands for drama. Do the Cowboys already have a plan in place to move on from the quarterback? Don't miss Shefty next. Back on Get Up, back to all the football in just a minute. But first, the stars, Alan Hahn, were out last night. Steph and LeBron, no AD. LeBron knocking down threes.
It was raining in L.A. It doesn't rain in Southern California, but from three it did. Early for the Lakers, but the whole game for Golden State.
LeBron had 33 points, 11 rebounds, but look at Steph getting it going.
That's two, that's three, plus the free throw. I can do math, that's 4 points.
But look at Draymond Green. First of all, look at the pass. But Draymond knocked down 5 threes in the first half.
Flash Cousin, he's 5 for 5. He suddenly was knocking down threes. This was good Draymond in this game tonight, last night.
It was actually great Draymond last night. And then Steph Curry, you want to talk about a spectacular, look at this. Look at this pass.
And that's also Klay Thompson. See, that's vintage Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. Because Steph Curry's got you on skates, and Klay Thompson cutting and slashing and finishing.
Klay had 27. He was 5 of 10 from three. Steph had 23. He was 6 of 6.
How is he so open? It's Steph Curry.
Golden State winds up winning it by 2 touchdowns, 134-120. We'll have more on that game as we go. But speaking of touchdowns, we'll mention here the Lakers and Warriors both still in the 9-10 for now. Only 3 games, however, separate the 6 from the 10. KD and the Suns in that mix. We'll figure out where it all winds up. I mentioned touchdowns. Back to the NFL. Cowboys, lots of questions remain about contracts for several of their players, and most of it stems from the enormous contract was staring at their quarterback, Dak Prescott, as he enters the last year of his deal. And we got Micah Parsons, and we got C.D. Lamb. Listen to Shefty yesterday on NFL Live talking about their mindset.
What are they going to do at quarterback if they lose Dak? That's interesting. And that's why I think the Dallas Cowboys might just be a sleeper team in the quarterback market during the draft, because at some point in time, they might have to draft a quarterback higher than you'd think, because Dak is going into the last year of the contract, and it might be time to get somebody in there to start grooming him. Just like they found Dak Prescott in round 4, might be time to go find another quarterback in another round to begin to get him ready.
I'm sorry, what? did Shefty just inject into this conversation, watch out for the Cowboys taking a quarterback higher than you may think, with Dak staring at the final year of his contract and maybe the final year of his time in Dallas? What do you say, Kimberly Martin?
Gosh, why, Shefty?
Look what he's done for us.
Look what he's done for you in these ratings.
Spencer Rattler, someone like that, sitting there waiting to be taken.
Remember, I'm old enough to remember when they created so much buzz over getting Trey Lance. It was like, oh, boy, watch out, Dak. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to get another one. Listen, I get it. I get it because I'll be honest, I haven't understood the Cowboys' plan of attack with Dak this whole time. I haven't felt that they truly are in love with him. I haven't felt like throughout his career there. So if they have to have a safety net in case he walks, it makes sense, but this feels like a situation that could have been avoided.
Lewis.
Look, the best time to get a quarterback is when you don't need one. We understand that, right? Okay, so look, it's not going to be at 24. It's not going to be in the first round.
No.
But I understand.
But Friday night, you and me were sitting there, and it's late in round two.
And you're talking about a guy like Spencer Rattler, and he gets drafted there, and then you have Spencer Rattler and Trey Lance potentially being the quarterbacks who battle it out to be the future quarterback of the Cowboys. Yeah, I could see that. I could see that, and that would be smart on their part. Okay, because look, maybe right now, We don't know how the Dak Prescott situation is going to play out here. And you cannot just think that, at least right now, based on the information that we have, that they are sold on the fact that he is going to be their quarterback over the next 5 to 10 years. So, look, I'm not saying in the first round they have a whole lot of other things that they need to take care of, namely this offensive line, which hopefully we get into. Because quite honestly, I think this football team is in trouble. I think they're in trouble because in some ways, especially on the offensive line, look, 4 of their 5 starters right now, we don't know how the heck they're going to play next year. We don't even know who's going to run the football for them primarily next year, let alone Dak Prescott, let alone CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons and their contract situations. This team could be in trouble because the guts of the football team right now totally up in the air as to what it looks like, who's going to line up where, and how good they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things in terms of the list of things to discuss about the Cowboys that we need to get to.
This is what everything Lewis said makes 100% sense. But this is why the Cowboys baffle me, because they are operating as though they are unsure about Dak, who literally led the league in passing touchdowns and is coming off a season in which he was the runner-up for MVP. So if they are unsure, like, this is what I mean. It's either you believe in him or you don't, but why are we even at this point with him? Greeny, help me.
Right. Brian Ryder is the producer of our draft coverage. Lewis knows him well. And he watches every morning. Rides, I'm telling you right now, if the Cowboys take a quarterback in round two, I'm breaking into a spontaneous episode of Get Up. Just sitting right there. I'm telling you right now. Yes, we're going to miss the next 3 or 4 picks because I'm just turning to you and Mel and Booger, and we're just breaking this down. What does this mean for Dak's future?
Yeah, no kidding. I'll tell you what. Look, I want to see whether or not they draft an offensive lineman, whether they draft a linebacker, another defensive tech. That's what I want to see. You're right. This draft will get real. If they do that in the second round,
it's going to get very interesting.
Go ahead, Dallas. Do it.
We are 15 days away from the draft. We will have much more on that as we go. But you know what we're only one day away from? My favorite sporting event of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, the Masters. Augusta, tomorrow, Tiger Woods will be in the field looking for his record 24th straight made cut. But when asked about his expectations yesterday, he wasn't stopping there.
What do you believe that you can do this week?
If everything comes together, I think I can get one more. Want me to describe that any more than that, or we're good?
It's not often you hear a room full of reporters stunned into silence, but that's basically how everyone reacted. The great Curtis Strange gets up with us early this morning from beautiful Augusta National. So there's Tiger, and obviously as a 5-time champion, that's going to be his mindset. We understand that, Curtis, but I mean, realistically, what would constitute a successful weekend for him in your mind?
Greeny, if you don't believe in yourself, you're not going to play well, number one. I commend him for that. But, you know, he's only played 1 round and 6 holes this year. He's only played a little more than that last year. I think he'll hit a lot of good shots on Thursday. I think he'll make some putts. But when the adrenaline, like any sporting event, when the adrenaline wears off, what do you have? And we're going to find out. But I'm just glad he's here. I think everybody wants to watch him play, rub elbows with him. I think if he makes a cut, it'll be a successful week.
And how would you assess the chances of that? Again, he is tied for the record with most consecutive made cuts at 23. How would you assess the chances that we at least see him this weekend?
Well, I think, you know, I think they're okay. You know, I think momentum is a big part. Getting off to a good, solid start on Thursday keeps the momentum, keeps the energy up in that body, that broken down body. I think it's going to really be hard for him on Friday because we have some horrific weather coming in. If he has to start and stop all day long, it's going to be extremely tough on that body of his.
All right, and then we talk about, obviously, Tiger is the one everyone pays attention to, but for the people who know the sport, Scottie Scheffler is the one that everyone is looking at. He is as significant a favorite as we have seen at this event in a long time. And I almost never ask this about a golf tournament, but if I give you Scheffler or the field right now, which way would you be inclined to go?
Well, we used to do that with Tiger in the field,
and
a lot of people took Tiger and should have over the years. I don't know if Scottie's in that atmosphere yet to go against the field. I think he's very, very good. His stats are phenomenal. He's been playing. He's won two of his last three tournaments, on and on and on. But he has John Rahm. He has Rory McIlroy. He has a host of other players that are world-class players that certainly know this golf course well enough, have played here, and expect to play well here this week. So it'll be a tough task for anybody to win. That's why we play the game, isn't it, Degrini? That's why we go play the game and play this game outdoors to see who is the best this week.
Yeah, the point that Michael Collins made with me yesterday was Scheffler has reached that place where he sometimes can win without his A game, without his best stuff, which is pretty rare stuff. If he putts well, Curtis, if the putter is working for him this weekend, he's the toughest guy to beat, right?
Well, he's so consistent from tee to green, it does come down to the putting. But if he makes a few putts, which he did at Bay Hill with the new putter, which he did at the Players, he wins. So I think all eyes are on the short game, absolutely. But again, Augusta and the weather, it's going to take a complete game for anybody who wins well this week. But right now, obviously, Scottie Scheffler has the complete game day in and day out.
All right, Curtis, I miss you guys. I wish I was down there. Enjoy it this weekend. We will certainly be watching.
We miss you.
All weekend long. I know. I wish I could be there, and I wish I could be there today for the par three. There's such a fun event. Masters Week begins our coverage with this, the par three contest today, 3 o'clock Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app, noon Eastern on ESPN+. Always a wonderful way to start out the weekend. Meanwhile, coming up, please don't let this actually have just happened. Giannis, non-contact. Is it time to freak out in the NBA? Woj has the very latest next.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.